Just when you think you got it all figured out, and then you blow it. And I mean big time. And you run from God in confusion, and He still blesses you. He still provides for you. He still instructs you, and He still pursues you. Man, and aren't you glad that's where we're going today? Wake the faith up, Slayer. Hope you're having a great week so far. Garth Ekman, David Alliance. You can reach out to me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. And we're brought to you by wellbuiltbody.com. Gym apparel for men and women that rock and shock. It ain't for everybody, but it just might be for you. Wellbuiltbody.com. Got some great summer apparel on there, by the way. Hey, I don't know about you, but you can maybe tell I got the allergy thing going. You know, the voice is a little more scratchy. The eyes are running. And my nose is running so bad it's coming out my ears. That's how bad my allergies are. I hope you're doing better than me. But today, we're not here to talk about allergies. We're here to talk about PETA. PETA, the Apostle PETA. You know, the dude who denied Jesus three times in John 21. This is after Jesus died, resurrected. And he's only been showing up a couple times so far to the disciples. And so here we pick up in verse 2. Several of the disciples were there, Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. And Simon said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out into the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved, that would be John, who's writing this book, by the way, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic because he'd stripped down for work, jumped into the water, headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of your fish that you've caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. God's provision, God's grace. "Now, come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and fish, and this was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Understand where the disciples are at. Peter specifically, but the disciples, they're kind of like, "I don't get it. What's going on?" And this short little story before Christ, you know, ascends into heaven and gives the Great Commission is a beautiful story. It's a synopsis. It's a dovetail picture of how much Jesus loves and pursues. I mean, I like to call this the Monday morning grace story. I mean, you start out with a pretty good week that suddenly takes a huge turn for the worse. Of course, it's your fault. And when you wake up a week later Monday morning, you're just feeling dismal. You'd never expected to be, in just a short time that morning, be sitting with Jesus over breakfast, being blessed, loved, and instructed. And that's what happens. You got to love the disciples. They tried, right? They gave 3 years to this Jesus dude. They trusted him. And now he gets crucified? We think he comes back from the dead. We think he does. We saw him once, but we're just confused. Nobody's given us any direction. We don't know what to do. What's going on? And so let's do what we always do. Let's just go back to work. Let's go back to do what we do, which is fish. And God comes to them. He comes to them. He doesn't chastise them. He doesn't preach to them. He doesn't ask, "What happened? What happened to this? Follow me, huh?" He doesn't even question why they went back to fishing. In fact, just the opposite. And in a simple display of grace, he not only shows them how to fish, that they are fishermen, but he blesses them. And he has their needs taken care of all along. He comes to them. First of all, they catch more fish than they've ever caught at a time when you're not supposed to catch fish at that time of day. It's as simple as throwing your net on the other side of the boat. The net doesn't break. Again, another sign of grace. And by the time they get there, he's already got breakfast taken care of. Then he talks to Peter and addresses the elephant in the room, right? "Do you love me?" He asked this three times, not because Jesus didn't believe him, but rather to reveal to Peter his own heart. Here Peter is in front of a fire, and he relives the scene just a few days earlier where he was in front of a fire in a courtyard outside the high priest's house, and for the third time he denies Jesus. And now, in this setting, he's in front of a fire with Jesus, and he gets to experience God's forgiveness and his love for him. In the middle of giving up, in the middle of going back to his old job, and yet Jesus comes to him and says, "This is not what I have for you. You are not to fish. You are to feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." Notice that Jesus doesn't say this to Peter. Look, I'm going to do a bunch of things. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to set you up. But first you have to repent. And first you have to come back to me. And first you have to have good behavior. And when you have good behavior and you get it all together, then I'm going to pursue you. And then I'm going to take care of you. And then I'm going to... No, none of that at all. Jesus pursues Peter, reveals himself to him through financial gain, wisdom, fellowship, grace, and breakfast. Remember the verse, God's kindness leads us to repentance? Not to salvation. That's not talking about salvation. It's talking about repentance, first and foremost, when we mess up. Today, if you're feeling like you're back to square one, you know, that I was doing so well just a week ago, just a month ago, just a year ago, and now look at me. Well, understand that God is still pursuing you. God is there asking you, do you still love me? Because he sure as heck still loves you. Look, whether you're in the boat, on the shore, whether you see him or you don't, he's there. Reach out to him. He forgives you. He loves you. He expects you to love him back. And he wants you there with him to serve and to pick right back up to what he's called you to do. Garth Heckman, David Alliance, keep slaying giants.